Well, thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. And I want to thank you also. Whoops, I'm muted. Hold on. There we are. All right. Thank you, everyone. I'm unmuted now, so that's good. I really appreciate your faithfulness during this time. Being here weekly, your generosity financially and in many other ways, taking care of things that need to be taken care of. So thank you. Thank you for all that. I want to look today at a second reason that sometimes we find it hard to hear the voice of the Lord. You may recall that last week we looked at that, and one of the blocks that we saw was having a false image of God. And when that happens, that it creates a lot of disturbance spiritually, so that we really can't pick up on the voice of God. But today I want to look at another block, similar, but nonetheless important, and that is a false image of the church, a picture of the church that can just create a lot of spiritual noise within us and helps us to not hear the voice of the Lord. I have an illustration for you today. I want to share with you one of the things I do sometimes when it's the afternoon and I want to take a nap, which I confess happens often, just happens often. So, I might pull the blinds, but still there's some light. So I get one of these, and I put it on, but that's not the end of it right there. Because sometimes there'll be noise outside or, in the house or something. So I get these, and I put those on too. There we go. And then I'm ready. It just helps everything, as you could imagine. So I thought that would be a helpful illustration to you, because the reason that I do it is I keep out the things that I don't want to have come in. And so that I can have the things in that I want in there, particularly the noise and the unnecessary light at that time. And it does help everything. It's the same principle that goes on with our picture of the church. When there's a picture of the church that is not the same as Jesus' picture of the church, then there's all kinds of extra noise going on. And what we need to do is to not have that come in, so that the picture of the church that Jesus has will come in. And that will open up doors for us spiritually and with all kinds of ministry, all kinds of things. You remember, one of the great principles of following Jesus is this. The ministry area that we have, the ministry that the church is able to walk in, increases as our picture of Jesus increases. And one of the ways our picture of Jesus increases is by seeing Jesus in the fellowship through each other, seeing Jesus in each other. We'll see, pardon me, we'll see more of Jesus through each other than we will on our own. And that is at the core of the picture of the church that Jesus has. And that's what helps us hear God's voice through each other. And it conditions our hearing and our ability to hear, so that even if we are in solitude somewhere or another for some reason, we pick up the voice of God more clearly because of our experience of fellowship with one another. And that's what I see in the reading today from Philippians that Richard read just a minute ago. And one of the phrases there out of one of the verses that kind of captures the whole thing is, let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. And of course, the rest of the selection unpacks what that is. And there is a challenge. We read a verse like that and some of the other verses there in that section. And the question comes up, like it does so often, is how do we do that? How do we let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in us as well? And the other things that are there. And it's easy to begin to slip into the thought that if I do not have the mind of Christ, then God will not accept me. That's a very slippery slope, and it's easy to get onto. It's important to remember that the opposite is true. Because God loves us, He extends to us the mind of Christ and we can receive it. There's nothing that we do in particular to earn it, just like everything with God's grace. And that's an important part of how we follow Jesus. We have the mind of Christ that God has given to us. Paul uses this phrase in other portions of Scripture in the letters that he wrote, and he makes it clear that we actually do have the mind of Christ. It's just opening up to that and growing in that, maturing in it. The challenge still remains, however, how do we do that? How do we walk in the mind of Christ? What does a person's life look like which has the mind of Christ? And it's in the relationships in the church where we live out having the mind of Christ. And that helps us develop in such a way that we can live out having the mind of Christ anywhere we go in the world at all. It'll spill over into all those relationships outside of the church. But the church is the main arena where we learn these things. And it's the main arena for this. Let me read once again. That's a small section from Philippians. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Looking to the interests of others as well as our own interests is the way that we show we have the mind of Christ. It is in Christ, it is Christ in you, empowering you to recognize Christ in others. And the only way you can do that is by Jesus giving us the ability to do it. It's also Christ in you empowering you to look out for the interests, the callings, and the life and the spirit of other people. And it is Christ in you empowering you to prefer other Christians over yourselves. That's the mind of Christ working in us. Doing that together at the same time with each other makes a very powerful church that demonstrates the gospel. You know, everybody looking out for the interests of others in the church as well as their own makes a very powerful church, and it demonstrates the gospel to the world. Yeah. Now, we can have an image and an expectation of the church that can usually unintentionally keep us from looking out for the interests of others as well as our own, even when we want to. And most of us really want to most of the time. That's how we approach things. But we can have an expectation when we choose a church that we're choosing it because we like the music or the preaching or the activities or whatever else it might be. And we just like this church, so that's why we're going there. And what happens if any of those things changes? Well, then the church no longer lives up to the image that's in our minds. And we go through some changes. Some people may get very disgruntled. All kinds of things could happen with that, as you know and perhaps have experienced yourself now and again. What we want to do is become part of a church where we can serve Jesus, who is present in other people. That would be the criteria for what the church looks like and how we operate. We offer, for example, what God is calling us to do, whatever it is. And that's a different matter than saying, wow, the church needs this, so let me see if I can figure out how to get it. It's when we offer to the church what God has already put within us. Now, a lot of times that'll meet the need that's in the church, but sometimes we offer that and there is no particular need for it, but it becomes a point of growth within the church. And to hold back something is really unfaithfulness on our part. Other people do not receive what Jesus is giving them through the gift and calling that we have. I want to remind you of a story I've shared with you a couple of times in the past, but a few years back I was at a clergy meeting, and as you can imagine, we were sharing, you know, about our congregations. And one person was sharing that they have a member who only shows up for the annual mission trip that goes overseas somewhere. And for the rest of the time, they don't show up at all. They don't take part in anything else except the annual mission trip. To which I observed, maybe that person has a very rich apostolic gifting, and there's nowhere else for that to land in the church. Maybe the church is a little heavily oriented towards teaching or pastoring or whatever else it might be, but the apostolic, it's kind of thin where you can do that. And there's a lot that we could do to think about that and to approach that. But one of the things that is true about that is when someone has that kind of a gift, others can prefer them above themselves and look out for that calling as well as for their own calling, making room for everyone. And when that room is made, then you see more of Jesus than you see otherwise. Just and when you are able to offer what God has given you, it builds others up in that, particularly in becoming more like Jesus. So we encourage others to offer what God has called them to do, and that encourages their faithfulness, making room for that in every way. And you know, somebody might offer something and a few people may be able to join in with them, but not everybody. But everybody can encourage the presence of that gifting and that offering. It makes what God has given to them available to everyone else in whatever way God chooses for that to happen. In other words, we do hear and we do see more of God when we encourage each other to grow in their calling. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this: "Christian community means community through and in Jesus Christ. Everything that the scriptures provide in the way of direction and rules for Christians' life together rests on this presupposition." Seeing Jesus in each other, and because we're together in each other, gives us the ability to walk in the way of discipleship that Jesus asks us to walk. We see more of how to do it. We receive it more deeply because we see how it works in other people as well as within us. And opening our eyes to that, asking God to show us that, is one of the keys to hearing the voice of God and then following after what Jesus tells us. Now, this is very challenging stuff because, you know, sometimes we don't do that. And I think at St. Francis, we're a very encouraging congregation. And we do it quite often. We joyfully welcome new people. We encourage each other often. We show love and respect for each other. And there are a lot of ways that we look after the interests of others as well as our own. I think we're a good way down that path. But I want to ask you to take up one consideration. If you are feeling as if you are not hearing the voice of the Lord, could it be that you do not have the same picture of the church as Jesus does? Could it be that when you come into the church and have that wonderful experience, even on Zoom, that you're looking for something that is not in the mind of Christ concerning the church? And you may need to put one of these on spiritually. Breakthrough. Would you ask Jesus at this time to show you his image of the church? And maybe even more specifically, his picture of St. Francis. You know, why have you put St. Francis here? What do you want it to look like at this time? Things like that. Would you also ask Jesus at this time to show you how he sees the others here at St. Francis? And that might be a little different than the way you see others. We can see others in a certain way, and the good and the bad and so forth. But how does Jesus see them? When Jesus looks at others, you know, somebody else in the congregation, what is Jesus seeing? Can we see the same thing? And would you ask Jesus at this time to show you how he would have you look out for the interests of others as well as your own? And we have our ways of doing that, but I want to ask you to take that just a step further. How would Jesus want you to look out for the interest of others as well as your own? Now, I think that's some very challenging things. It is for me as I was looking at this. And it's something that to take deeply to heart, because the way most of us and many people that may be coming into St. Francis in the years to come would first encounter Jesus would be in a relationship with us or other Christians. So we want to be the ones who, when we look at them, see what Jesus sees. And we want to be the ones who look out for their interests as well as our own. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you always for drawing us together. We thank you that you are the one who calls us to be together. And we do ask for eyes to see what you see in each other. And we ask for the ability to perceive the way you desire the church to be and the picture you have of your church. And we ask you to come and build that among us for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.